skies for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And while we wait for our producer to get John Stormer on the telephone, why, I want to tell you a little bit about John Stormer. I'd never really met him personally until perhaps, maybe 8 years ago. But, of course, I've always known about John Stormer because when I first got started in this battle back in 62, but in 1964, a book was published. It was called None Dare Call It Treason. And, of course, it was taken from that a quotation, treason never doth prosper, for if it prospers, none dare call it treason. And that book sold some 7 million copies. And it was the story of really what was happening to America, and it pointed out that at that time, the communists controlled almost a third of the world mass, they controlled a quarter of the world's population. Communism was on the march throughout the world, and it really was at that time. Communism had replaced the British Empire as the major force in the world, and America, of course, was the last bulwark of freedom. At least that's what we believed at that time. And, of course, this book, None Dare Call It Treason, documented that. Well, of course, John Stormer has been involved in the battle ever since then. And, of course, a few years later, he became a born-again Christian, became a Christian missionary, has practiced, worked as a Christian minister. I should say a Christian minister. He worked as a Christian minister until recently when he retired. He's written a number of other books. None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later, and None Dare Call It Education. He's put together a number of videos. Incidentally, we do carry those videos in his other books. But, of course, he is on the front lines of this effort to make people understand the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And he actually spends time every week at the Capitol there in Missouri with the legislators, teaching Bible studies, trying to bring the leaders of his state to an understanding of the true nature of the spiritual battle. John Stormer, thank you so very much for being with us today.
It's always a privilege.
Well, we're going to talk today a little bit about the Supreme Court and the decisions of the Supreme Court, which are just so out of keeping with what we would anticipate would be the positions of people who are sworn to uphold the Constitution. Do you have an uneasy feeling that these people do not believe in the Constitution they've sworn to uphold?
Well, it's a matter of just record. They regularly make decisions that violate the constitutional principles and the Declaration of Independence, which the Constitution was written to uphold, the concept that our rights come from God, and the Declaration said to make those rights secure, governments are instituted among men deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. They wrote the Constitution to make secure the rights that come from God. So when we've gone through years now of Supreme Court approving of striking down laws against abortion, laws against sodomy, same-sex marriage, these other areas, when the courts find that it would be unconstitutional to say under God and the Pledge of Allegiance and so forth, they've lost all concept of the foundational principles on which America grew great.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and this when we get back, of course, we'll be talking with John Stormer about America, about our Christian heritage, and about the Supreme Court, which seems to have a different agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest today is John Stormer. And John Stormer has written a number of books. The first one sold 7 million copies, and with his other books, of course, he's... How many books do you have in print across America today, John?
Well, there's five. Actually, there's one, Death of a Nation, is not actually in print, but...
There are a lot of copies out there. I have a copy of that myself.
Right, yes. And some of the key things, The Death of a Nation was published in 68 after I had been in Vietnam a couple of times, and there was a chapter in there, a couple of chapters on why we were not permitted to win, and some of that material was incorporated in None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later.
And then, of course, you wrote None Dare Call It Education as well. So what are there, about maybe 9 or 10 million copies of your books around?
Oh, I think it's approaching 11, maybe.
About 11 million. That's a lot of copies of books out there across America. And, of course, these have had a profound impact on the thinking of many, many people. But, of course, your first book was really written more or less from a historical and secular point of view. And then, of course, you came to know the Lord. About when was that?
In February of 1965, as I go back and look at None Dare Call It Treason, it pointed in the right direction, and I have to believe that maybe the Lord didn't choose to save me before I finished that book, because the people weren't ready for the answers. Back in those days, people wanted to hear all about the problems, but they didn't want to know the real answer, and maybe the Lord knew, or the Lord could have known, that... I might have ruined the book if I had become a Christian and gotten all excited about the real answer.
And, of course, what is the real answer?
Well, unless we have revival, unless for the individual it's coming to see that he or she is one of the sinners for whom Christ died on the cross. I spent 37 years of my life believing that Christ died for the sins of the world, but... didn't really do me any good until I came to see it wasn't just for the world, which it was, but it was for me. And it has to become personal that way, and that transformed my life. And once that happened, I knew that with what he did in my life, he can do anything, and he can straighten this world out if people will turn to him and actually fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people... the Christians, those who've really come to know Christ, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, I quoted that verse.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're going to have to bring on one more station. Well, Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest today is John Stormer, and we're talking about, of course, how you would apply Chronicles 7:14 to where we are today. If my people are known by my name, will seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. And you, I'm sure you can quote that far better than I can.
Well, I quoted it in the original None Dare Call It Treason, and as I understood it that time, I thought if all those liberals out there and all those nasty people and so forth, if they'd get right, then God would straighten things out. But I came to see after I became a Christian that what God was saying is, if my people, those who really know him, if we turn from our wicked ways and really seek his face and seek forgiveness, then he can use us and he'll our land.
And amen. Of course, that's what's really needed. And if we're going to change America, we're going to have to change it one person at a time, starting with us.
That's exactly right. And I was in a meeting late last week when there was some hand-wringing about the Ten Commandments situation down in Alabama with Judge Moore and some of these other rulings. Somebody said, you know, I think that as this goes on, people are really going to take a stand. And I said, I don't know. If they don't submit their own lives to the Ten Commandments, they're not going to... Now, it's nice to wave a flag, but it has to come into your own heart.
Well, you know, of course, the church should have taken a stand back in 1962 with the case of Engel versus Vitale, where they took that terrible prayer out of school, God is good, God is just, thank you for this food, amen. Well, we couldn't have children actually saying something like that in public school. And the churches, of course, at each step has been very slow, as the wicked people who've been appointed to the Supreme Court to change America step by step undermine the Christian, the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country. The church has always said, well, you know, things will get better, or it's all in God's hands, or, well, we don't want to speak up, and we don't want to be controversial.
Now, Dr. Stan, I run into that, of course, because I've taken a stand, and I try to encourage other preachers to and other Christians to. And we do hear a lot of that, that God's sovereign. And as I study recent church history, during the 1900s, the last 100 years or so, with an increasing interest in prophecy and the prophecies that the Lord Jesus is coming back and he's going to straighten things out, if you take Christians out of it, that pre-mill, pre-trib position that some of our listeners may recognize what I'm talking about there. Along with that, which is a very correct position, there was the growth that came out of Wheaton and some other places that the emphasis that our citizenship is in heaven. And praise God it is. But God leaves us here to be salt and light, to be a people who have an understanding of the times, people who can provide leadership to their brethren. And churches have been neutralized, and many of our major denominations that would have even held to the Bible, a couple of our mutual friends, I was in a discussion with them maybe 2 years ago, leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they were deploying the fact that as they look at history for most of the 20th century, the last 100 years, an emphasis in their seminaries in training young preachers was avoid controversy at all costs, because if you get into controversy, it'll hurt your ministry. Well, if you have a real ministry, you're going to have controversy. And if this feeling or this expression that, well, we can't get political and all the other reasons and excuses for not taking a stand and getting controversial, if the preachers, the Presbyterians and the Baptists and a bunch of other ones back there in the 1700s had felt that way, we'd all still be English.
And I think you're absolutely right. And the thing is, if you're even going to proclaim that, that we're all sinners saved by grace, if you're going to proclaim that there is a hell today, you're going to be controversial. Because there are a lot of our ministers who don't even believe in a hell or a literal hell. And don't believe in eternal damnation. What? Why? No loving God would do anything like that.
That has permeated, of course, what we probably call the mainline denominations, and even many Bible believers don't put the emphasis. You've got to avoid fire and brimstone; it might turn people off. We got to be user friendly and so forth. And in the process, we can lose our effect.
And of course, I can remember hearing one of the leading ministers of our time say, "Well, 40 years ago we used to talk about hell, but it doesn't sell well anymore." And I thought, "Sell well anymore?" I mean, I thought we were supposed to preach the gospel, not worry whether we were going to offend people or be controversial, or whether they'd come back to church again. I mean, if they're going to come to church, they're going to have to leave there feeling convicted, not necessarily dancing out of the church feeling happy.
That's exactly right. And so many of what are being called the mega churches or the church growth movement, they try to base, they tend to base their approach on reaching out to what sinners want. And, we've lost sight of the fact of what the church is for these days. In Ephesians chapter 4, the scripture says that God puts men in the church, pastors, teachers, so forth, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, so they can go out and reach sinners. We've lost sight of that. And we tend to think that the only place people can become Christians is when we can get them into the church, and if we can water things down and make it friendly to them, and there's nothing wrong with being friendly, There's nothing wrong with having a greeter or having a visitor's parking place or whatever. But once you get them in, I remember all the years that I went to, I'd get into good churches once in a while, and I would feel awfully uncomfortable. And it took a long time, but it finally reached my heart.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the problem we have today is we have a Supreme Court that has a political agenda. And, of course, we're told, oh, gee, if we could just, of course, get the Republicans in office, why, of course, we can change the direction of the Supreme Court. Well, seven of our current corrupt Supreme Court justices were appointed by actually Republican presidents. And there's a joke going around Washington, D.C. about Alberto Gonzalez, who apparently the president is trying to line up for a nomination so he can be moved into the Supreme Court. And that is, how do you say Alberto Gonzalez in Spanish? And the answer is Stephen Breyer. And for those of you who don't know, Stephen Breyer is one of the corrupt judges that was appointed by
Bill Clinton. I've heard another different way that even drives the point home a little further. How do you say David Souter, who's probably one of the worst of the Republican-appointed judges, appointed by George Bush the First? How do you say David Souter in Spanish?
Alberto Gonzalez.
Right.
And you have to understand that there are people back in Washington, D.C. who realize it's all a game. The American people are not supposed to understand that the Supreme Court is being specifically used to change our society. It was all laid out, the plan laid out by Colonel House back in 1912. If you haven't read his book, Philip Dew Administrator, you need to get it, because Colonel House laid out the pathway to establish a dictatorship in America. And one of the major stepping stones was to put people on the Supreme Court who believed in an all-powerful central government rather than the negative government that allowed people to be free.
And Dr. Stan, you know, people now, maybe they see the Texas sodomy decision or one of these others, some of the Ten Commandments things, that decision, the Ninth Circuit on you can't say under God. And you say, boy, what's happening there? This has been going on for a long time. Rosalie Gordon wrote that great book back in 1957. The title of it was Nine Men Against America. And she detailed how the court worked through the 30s and the 40s, transforming American government, or approving the transformation of American government by FDR and then by Truman and Eisenhower and some of the others, moving all the power to Washington. And, you know, too, I just had the thought that people hear the Texas sodomy decision or whatever, and they say, well, that doesn't really affect me. That's just a legal concept. But I have the Post-Dispatch here from the day that the big headline says, Court Strikes Down Texas Ban on Gay Sex. And the story is over here on the right. But on the left of the front page, it says, in Jefferson County, prosecutor drops gay sex charges against six men arrested at Soar. In other words, there had been six men back in March, six men in one of these adult bookstores having an orgy. And the police come in under protest and arrested all these guys for what they were doing and things they were doing. We wouldn't even want to talk about it, but I think people know if I say a gay sex orgy. And the day after the Supreme Court issued that decision on June 26th, they had to drop the charges and set those people all free. So it's affecting what goes on in each of our communities.
And, of course, it'll affect what goes on in our schools and our attitude, our children's attitudes towards sex and towards God. And we're going to be back here in just a moment with John Stormer, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention, if you're interested in getting a water filter, either a Big Berkey or a Berkey Life water filter, why, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see them there. Both filters, each filter about 2.5 gallons of water at a time. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan. The Big Berkey has ceramic filters that have been around for 150 years. The Berkey Light has what we call the Black Berkey filters, much more efficient, but they do have to be replaced every couple of years. The others can be cleaned repeatedly. The Big Berkey is $239. The Berkey Light is $199. The Big Berkey is available in every state except for California and Iowa. The Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa, and so you can actually get them, and you can put them in your RV. You can put them any place you want to. A very excellent means of purifying your water. We call the Berkey Light filters water purifiers. You can also get post filters to put on if you want to take out fluoride, if you're concerned about the fluoride in your water, and you certainly should be if you have it. If you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest today is John Stormer, and we've got calling from Wisconsin, Steve. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Well, good afternoon to both of you gentlemen.
Do you have a question or comment for us?
I have a comment, and I wanted to get Mr. Stormer's opinion. Okay, first of all, I just want to just sort of make a statement here, and that is that we know when it comes to the liberals, the atheists, and the perverts, they're not offended by the Ten Commandments. They're offended by God. That's where the real offense comes in my
opinion.
That's
a good comment.
All right, I think that's very accurate. Go ahead.
Okay. In the same way, when you were talking about in 1962, when prayer was removed from school, it wasn't Madeline Murray's O'Hare to get prayer thrown out of school. that was just a smokescreen. The real purpose was to get God thrown out of school. And once that was accomplished, then that opened up the door for humanism to be taught in the public schools.
All right, let's get John's response to what you're saying. John?
Well, this is a very good comment. At the heart of all of these things, I think, it's the rebellion of the human heart against any authority, and God is the ultimate authority. None of us like to be told anything, and the liberals, if you will, the humanists, the anti-God people, use that and get people to respond and go along. And we've had those decisions, starting with the Everson decision in 1947, and they're accelerating now. Judge Moore down in Alabama is a man who's really looked into the law and says we got to hold this up because it brings God face to face. The caller is right that the attack is on God. Many years ago, I used to work pretty closely with old Dr. Carl McIntyre. He's with the Lord now. And one of our discussions I came to see as we talked, I said, you know, you can always get a crowd to follow you on standing for the second tablet of the law. In other words, everybody has something they'd be against stealing. And if they have a wife or a family, they're against adultery. And if they have things they don't want to, they have life and so forth. As I said to Dr. McIntyre, he said, well, you've put the finger on it. The real issue is the first tablet of the law. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods. That's where the real battle is.
And I think that basically this idea that if we, of course, look to the God of the Bible, he always has all these laws. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do something else. And he's a killjoy. And, of course, they will tell you that really you want, of course, if you worship Lucifer, you have total freedom. You can do whatever you want to. You determine what's right and wrong. Aleister Crowley's basic slogan, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. But what people have lost sight of, and you've heard me say it before, and you'll hear me say it again, is that freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do, but to do what you should do according to God's law. And if we're ruled by God, then we're going to be free. But those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants, and that's just the direction they're heading us today. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, I'll make a comment there. I've come to the place where I like the word liberty a lot better than the word freedom, because freedom does carry with it a certain license, but liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty, a biblical standpoint, is the freedom to do the will of God.
Okay, anything else, Steve, you wanted to say?
Yes, I did. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm not one to throw in the towel. I am going to fight to the very end. But I also want to tell you how I feel about something, and I'd like to get Mr. Stormer's opinion on this, too. I personally feel that God has written out a death sentence for this country. He just hasn't signed it yet. When he's going to sign it, and that is when the first state has their gay marriage overruled by the United States Supreme Court. I believe that's when God is going to sign a death sentence for this country.
All right, let's get John's response, and I'm going to put you on, you can listen on the air. How would you respond to what Steve is saying, that, God is going to, of course, to sign the death sentence for America when the first state, of course, goes ahead and allows gay marriage?
Well, I have a hard time saying, here's what God's going to do.
I agree with you totally. I'm not that smart.
There's a whole lot of things that I would have felt that maybe God's judgment would have fallen already. I think it was Billy Graham a number of years ago who said if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, God doesn't have to apologize to anybody, and he has his own scheme and his own way of doing things, and all we can do is just do what he's revealed to us and stand in fear of the wrath falling.
Amen.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes of The Secret Government to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to point out that, of course, if you would like to do something positive at this time in history, we hope many of you will seriously consider setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your church, in your community, in your home, and just invite people over. And, of course, the Institute of the Constitution will provide you with 12 half-hour talks going into the entire history of America and the foundation of our basic documents, the Christian history of this country. And, of course, there's a textbook that goes along with it, gives you questions to ask, the answers to the questions, a couple of tapes by David Barton. It's inexpensive. Call right now, 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068, and ask about setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, because if you don't educate people about our Christian heritage, who will? And if not now, when? And then, of course, we want to mention that we actually carry something called Phonopoly. Phonopoly is a board game designed to teach children how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, how to spell phonetically. And most children have difficulty spelling. A third of all children going to a major college are going to have to take bonehead English because they can't write a literate sentence, because they've been actively dumbed down because they've never learned to read right. And for $139.95, you can get a program, and most of these programs are $600, $700, $800. You can get Phonopoly for $139.95. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. One of them is Nundar College Education by Dr. John Stormer. And, of course, if the child will apply themselves for 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that has been done in government schools. The game is Phonopoly. The number to call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is John Stormer. We've got Spencer calling from Ohio. Spencer, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, Dr. Stan. Mr. Stormer, a communist goal number 35 was to discredit and dismantle the FBI. And by all accounts, I'd say they've been very successful at it. I looked in my recent phone book, and I tried to look up the FBI, and they weren't in there. And so I was wondering if you could tell me who started the character annihilation against J. Edgar Hoover, and could you pinpoint that down for me?
All right, fine. Do you have a response to Spencer on that?
Yes, he was, of course, a very definite target of the Communist Party back in the 50s and the 60s. Along with any investigation of communists, their goal was to abolish the House Committee on Un-American Activities, the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee. And when J. Edgar Hoover died in 71 or 72, incidentally, some people point out it was on May Day, the communist holiday, and they read some things into that. I'm not. I just mentioned that as a little sideline. But the FBI had already been already peopled over Hoover's objection by what were called Bobby's boys. Bobby Kennedy, of course, was the attorney general back in the mid-60s, and the FBI under the Justice Department. And so the FBI was required to take in a lot of people that probably Hoover and his standards would have not brought into the FBI. And those people have gotten more and more influence. And today, it's not the organization that J. Edgar... Now, I'm sure there are good people in it. and sometimes the good people like Gary Aldridge end up suffering. But I remember, well, when the Oklahoma bombing, and we've seen the McVeigh being brought out, and a couple of guys with FBI jackets on, and they sure were a different looking crowd than Hoover used to have in the FBI.
And I don't know if anybody remembers those pictures of Timothy McVeigh's being brought out. When you see a picture of, for instance, of Terry Nichols, he's always wearing a bulletproof vest. And when you see pictures of Scott Peterson when he was arrested, he was wearing a bulletproof vest. But when you saw the pictures of Timothy McVeigh, they didn't give him a bulletproof vest. I wonder why not. Maybe it's because they remember what happened to Lee Harvey Oswald, who I believe was a patsy for the assassination of President Kennedy. And, of course, he was, of course, shot down in under police custody. And then, of course, that put to the end any consideration of the possibility there was a conspiracy behind the murder of President Kennedy. So I think I just always remember, and if you see these pictures, they still bring them up of Timothy McVeigh. Isn't it interesting they wouldn't give him a bulletproof vest?
I would, yeah. I would add something our caller requested about J. Edgar Hoover. We hear those things today, and they've been written ever since he died, about he was regularly seen in women's clothes, in drag, as they said, at homosexual meetings in Washington and so forth. Hoover was hated by the press, the liberal press and the communists, all through the 60s and the 50s and 60s. There was never any hint of anything like that. And if those things were true, it would have gotten publicity. It was only after the man died that sort of charge was brought against him.
All right, fine. So now let's get back to the Supreme Court, because I think it's so vitally important that we understand that we have, of course, within the Constitution, the Congress has the ability to limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, and they should have done it back in the 1960s, and nobody in Congress has the courage to do what they have the constitutional right to do, and that is limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court initially was only to deal with affairs that the federal government was to deal with, relationships between states and between nations, but never to do with the individual. So where, of course, did the Supreme Court suddenly get off of being able to change the meaning of the First Amendment, of finding a woman's right to kill an unborn child, even a partially born child, or that there is certainly within the Constitution the right for sodomy, which is something which, of course, leads to disease. And, you know, all you need to do is look at the length of life. The average homosexual dies somewhere around 41 or 42, chopping about 30 years off their expected lifespan. Over a quarter of a million homosexuals have died in America as a result of the AIDS epidemic, which we're not trying to stop. And the Supreme Court says, you have a right to do that. Every other thing we want to do that, you know, that might be hazardous to our health, we're told and we're criticized. My goodness, eating French fries is almost like, you know, raping the environment. And of course, if we were to, overuse certain drugs, why, we would be sorely criticized. But it's perfectly all right to be a homosexual and kill yourself and spread disease. What's wrong with it? Where do these rights come from in our Constitution?
Well, a good many of these so-called rights have been discovered through the application of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees to all the right of due process. And they started to find in a Griswold versus Connecticut in the early 60s a right to privacy. And then that was applied in the abortion decision, and it was quoted as well in the recent sodomy decision. And again, you know, I keep getting back, and maybe people feel that, but we got to get back to the basics. If the Constitution was written to make secure the rights that come from God, then we should be able to find any right that's supposedly in the Constitution where it comes from God. And this right of privacy, as I've been thinking about this, and I kind of like privacy, But as I thought about this, in Luke chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3, and I don't have my Bible before me, but it basically says that whatsoever is spoken in secret will be proclaimed on the housetops, that there is no right of privacy. But there is, in the Bible, a responsibility for privacy. For example, Isaiah, he showed off all his riches and everything to the Babylonians, and Isaiah said, or Hezekiah did that, and Isaiah said, hey, you really blew it. Or God says that women have a responsibility for privacy and in modesty and things like that. There's some things we don't show off, but none of us have a right to privacy. And so it was never found. It took 200 years before the courts supposedly discovered that in the Constitution. And that's the basis for a whole lot of these bad decisions.
Well, of course, you know, the thing that we really need to do is to point out that for 100 years, nobody found that right to privacy in the Fourth Amendment. It was passed, certainly, I guess, about the 1870s, so it was 90 years later. They suddenly twisted words, and, you know, this is what people do. They twist words and meanings because they had a preconceived notion. And, of course, this was really a social decision having nothing to do with the Constitution. And, first of all, the federal government should have had nothing to do with the abortion issue. Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were all to be left to the state and the local community, never to be addressed by the Supreme Court. And you'll find that in the 45th of the Federalist Papers. And that's what our founding fathers intended. The federal government would have nothing to do with sodomy or with divorce or with sexuality. All of these matters were to be dealt with at a lower level because they feared that once all power was centralized in Washington, D.C., we would have a government as venal and authoritative and of course, as oppressive as the one that we had just recently escaped from. And I'm simply paraphrasing what Thomas Jefferson said.
Well, you know, I'm in the process of writing something, kind of comparing the basis of the Episcopal Church's decision to ordain or approve the ordination of a sodomite bishop, homosexual bishop, and the decisions of the Supreme Court. And the Wall Street Journal on the 8th of August had a very excellent article called "The Gospel of Inclusion?" And it dealt with what the Episcopal governing body did the previous days. But in this article, the writer, who has some real insight, says that the Episcopals have been quoting a man named Walter Brigham. He was from here in St. Louis. He was an Eton Seminary theologian. And in their publication, they quoted Brueggemann as saying this. He said, "Scripture is the chief authority when imaginatively construed in a certain interpretive trajectory."
See, that really sounds great, but what does it mean?
Well, it means that now the Scripture or the Constitution, you can put it in there, is the chief authority. And everybody will say, oh, yes. But he says, when imaginatively construed or applied.
Well, actually, my understanding is that some of the leaders of the Episcopalian Church said that they weren't looking necessarily to the Scriptures for ultimate authority. They were looking to the Holy Spirit, and as long as the Holy Spirit said it was all right, of course, to select a sodomite as a man who had left his wife and two children for another man, as long as the Holy Spirit told them that that was all right, it was all right to do. But, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, how did they know it was the Holy Spirit that was telling them and not some other demonic spirit?
That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit never, never leads us to anything that's in violation of what the Word of God says. People justify all sorts of actions based on, for example, I think the Scripture makes it really plain that a Christian should not be married to someone that's not a Christian, shouldn't get involved that way. And I've heard it. Lots of people have heard it, preachers. Well, the Lord has shown me that I have peace from the Holy Spirit. Well, It's not the Holy Spirit that ever gives us peace over a violation of a clear command in Scripture.
And this is the problem we have today. We have people in the Episcopalian Church who are listening to a different spirit. But I feel that this is, of course, infiltrating not only the Episcopal Church, but we're seeing the change in the message and in the music of Christendom as a whole, not simply the Episcopalians, but every branch of Christendom. Do you sense that to be true at all, John?
Yes, very definitely. So much of... And I don't want to paint it with a broad brush, but there's a tendency in what's called the church growth movement, the mega church. Now, there are some good techniques there. I mean, I think we should be friendly to people. We should reach out. We do a lot of those things. But they try to avoid anything that will divide. For example, we see a tendency now... with Sunday school classes. Well, they don't maybe call them Sunday school classes, but they get a group together, and rather than having someone teach and say, "Thus saith the Lord," now maybe they have a verse of Scripture, and then they sit around and all discuss what they think it might mean and see if they can come to a consensus of it. And it's, again, that thing of not liking authority.
And of course, the whole purpose of course Christianity is authority, and the authority comes from God. And of course, we would read the Scriptures and look to the Scriptures as the source of our authority.
Exactly. And unregenerate man and in a rebellious age, they don't like that, and it shows up in the way we dress and in every area of our lives and the kind of TV we watch and our whole country's falling apart the further we get from the Bible, and nobody's standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and the day of judgment is coming. We're in a time when if you try and quote the Scripture to someone, they'll say, "Well, I don't see it that way." Just recently, I try to be nice, but I just was led when somebody said, "I don't see it that way." I said, "Well, how do you think God will see it on Judgment Day?"
I bet that wasn't very popular because, we don't like to think about Judgment Day. We don't like to believe that we have a God, of justice and of judgment. We want a God that, of course, loves everybody, and, of course, he's just there to provide gifts and provide what we want, but never, of course, to judge us for our sins. Now, certainly, if you're truly true to him, you will are saved not by what you do, but by grace. But a person who's really saved is not going to intentionally continue sinning, because that doesn't make grace abound any greater.
That's right.
And this is, of course, what a lot of people seem to think. All you have to do is go to church on Sunday, and you can do whatever you want to the rest of the time. You don't have to.
And even you don't even have to go to church necessarily.
Well, we've got real problems, and of course, should we be surprised that the Supreme Court is violating the laws of God when we seem to have lost an awareness of the magnificence of God? We no longer hold him in awe and, of course, in fear. Now, why, of course, he's just somebody there is to sort of help us make life a little easier.
Maybe we're coming to a time it's going to be interesting. Judge Moore is going to attempt to carry his case up to the Supreme Court. They very often try to duck things, but the 11th Circuit says he got to take those things down. It's unconstitutional, the posting of the Ten Commandments. Up in Chester, Pennsylvania, some bold people there had the Ten Commandments posted in the front of their courthouse, and the Second Circuit, the appeals court, has ruled that they can do that. So there are two different appeals courts that are differing, and that sometimes leads the Supreme Court to say, "Well, we'll have to get this thing worked out and rationalize it." And the Supreme Court, it'd be interesting to see how they will sit underneath the Ten Commandments, which are carved in the wall above them, and what kind of decision they'll hand down on this matter.
And, of course, they open their session every day when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court.
Right.
God save the United States and this honorable court. They know, of course, that you can't take God out of America and have it survive. That's why they're taking God out of America. And what happens if the Supreme Court comes out against the display of the Ten Commandments? What will that mean for America? Maybe at what time will the American people have the willingness to stand up and say, our freedoms come from God, not from the Supreme Court? John, a parting thought?
Well, I think we need to be praying for Judge Roy Moore down in Alabama, a great man, and for him to have wisdom as he moves ahead on this. And each one of us then might stop and say, how do I stand as far as really applying the Ten Commandments? Not just the letter, but the spirit of it, to my own life and in my own family.
Well, God bless you, John. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here at Radio Liberty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to PWA 800 on the way down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are now covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book out there that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that John Stormer has, first of all, a number of books. We carry None Dare Call It Treason. We carry None Dare Call It Treason 25 years after, and we carry None Dare Call It Education. And then we have three videos, and one of them is, What Are the Dead Communists Doing? Another one is having to do with education. Another one has to do with the Christian Foundation of America. Now, you can get the videos independently, or you can get all three of them together with a special the reduced cost offer. I think the three videos for $49.95. And the John Stormer videos, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You may want to get the David Wagner videos. We talked about that the last hour. Of course, his video, The Amazing Clips, or The Shocker, or, of course, The Day of Deceit, or his new video, Welcome to World War III, / The New World Order. Well, all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to perhaps getting our Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but we will tell you that many people who use these products tell us that they work like a miracle. And, well, all I can tell you is that there's a soap and a miracle, pardon me, a moisturizing soap. There is a lotion, there is a gel, there is a neutralizing solution, which some people take for heartburn and some people take for constipation. We can't recommend it. We can just tell you that people use it, and they give us glowing, glowing reports for it. Children will use this on their skin, you know, during adolescence, and they will swear by it. You try it and see if it works for you. If you'd like to get an introductory sample, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, Miracle 2. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out on 58 or 59 different outlets every single week now across America, of course, hopefully touching people's lives, letting them understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, yes, on a legal battlefield, and that's what the Supreme Court decisions are all about. People who've been appointed to our Supreme Court because they hate the God of the Bible. And that, of course, is the real problem we have. Yes, we have a couple of Christians there, but we've got an awful lot of people, of course, who have a different agenda, and that is to destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, and to do it perfectly legal, because after all, aren't we a nation of laws? And if you want to get that book I talked about earlier by Philip, called Philip Drew Administrator, which back in 1912 told how to create a dictatorship in America. And remember, Colonel House was the dominant figure under Woodrow Wilson and FDR. He's described in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course the book Philip Drew Administrator and Brotherhood of Darkness are both available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you out there will want to think about getting a Phonopoly set to teach your children and your grandchildren, and maybe even yourself, to read and spell phonetically. And you can get the Phonopoly set. It's actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games and 2 books. And, of course, it's actually available for $139.95 by calling 1-800-544-8927. And most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600 or more. And then, of course, if you are struggling with your health care costs and you'd like to get a Christian health cost sharing program, a Christian health cost sharing program, it's called MediShare. Just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. And, of course, you'll find among the products that we offer to help subsidize what we do the various Berkey water filters. And if you're interested in getting either the big Berkey or Berkey Light, then you buy them through us. Why, of course, you'll get either a free video or a free 4-tape set that you can see the pictures and learn all about the Berkey water filters at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We want to mention the Be Alive Royal Jelly products, because I've taken these for 9 years, as is my wife, and we're really sold on them. If you feel that you need more in the way of energy, if you feel run down in the afternoon, or you just seem to can't get through the day, why not consider Be Alive Royal Jelly? It's sold with a money-back guarantee. It's a natural product. It's found in the beehive. It's for the queen bee, but it's also for people who need more energy and stamina. Call them at 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And if you're not completely satisfied, at the end of 3 months, if you've taken it for 3 months and you're no better, you call them and they'll give you your money back. That's Be Alive Royal Jelly product, and we recommend these to you. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. You can go to that website. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet and pull down all of our various programs that have been archived there for about 6 weeks, and listen to those and copy them. You can take down our newsletters and copy those and get them in people's hands to help them understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, God will turn against America forever. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.